So I'm going to pray now, and we'll look at our ongoing series on Peter. Our Father, thank you for how it is amazing. It's so easy for us to take things for granted. It's so amazing that we have your word still preserved, still in our language, still in this world that's so anti you. And we are so grateful. It is powerful. It is not like anything else. And I thank you that it's inspired by your spirit, and your spirit takes hold of your word and applies it to our hearts. And for any of us who have experienced that, from time to time, or many times, we are so grateful for you getting through all our rubbish and all our layers and speaking deep into our soul and sorting us out. Man, we are so lost. We get so affected by all the stuff you hear. And I thank you so much for the clarity of your voice as you speak truth into our soul. So, Lord, you know, personally, I cannot say thank you enough for what you've done in my life. And I trust many of us here tonight can say the same. And we want to just open ourselves to you now, that you would be pleased to speak through us as we look at your word. And we thank you that you love to do this. And so we thank you in anticipation. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so last Sunday night, it's good to see some of the campers back. Good to have you. Quite a few were on camp. How many were on camp? Put your hands up. Yeah. All right. Well, great to have you on camp. And normally during this series on Peter, I've been doing a bit of a recap, so you get to hear a little bit about what we did last Sunday. So last Sunday, we were going through the series on Peter's life, and we were looking at the time when Peter, James and John were very privileged to be taken up to a high mountain. We think it was Mount Hermon, and where Jesus was with them, they went up to pray, and while they're at the top of the mountain, something phenomenal happened. Jesus was transfigured. What does that mean? Well, it means that his face shone like the sun, and his clothes looked so bright. I reckon his body was just so full of light that the clothes just radiated this light. And so what were Peter, James and John seeing? They were seeing something they'd never seen before, the true glory of Jesus. And that's a big thing to think of. When Jesus walked this earth, he's actually playing down, covering his true glory. Otherwise, he'd be too blinding. And at this moment, not far from when he's ending his ministry, he's just shining so brightly. And Peter, James and John get to see Jesus' true glory. So that's pretty special. Number one. Now, the other thing we looked at last week is, the second big thing is, can't believe it, Moses and Elijah appear on that mount, and they're talking to Jesus. Moses and Elijah. Can you believe it? So they're not dead. That shows you they're not dead. They are alive. They're able to be called up. And there they were with Jesus. And also what's interesting is that they were talking about the imminent departure of Jesus. If only that conversation was recorded. That's my only regret in this story. Can you imagine them talking about Jesus' imminent departure? That means talking about how he would die, rise again, and ascend to the throne. Wow. And the third big thing is, not any cloud, but a bright cloud overshadowed them all, and God the Father spoke. Like, that is just amazing. And we have Peter, James and John hearing God's actual voice, and the words were these. This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. How's it go? Listen to him. And every word of God the Father is so important. He's making it really clear to everyone that Jesus is his Son. He loves his Son. He is so pleased with his Son in everything he did. And not only that, there's the most important instruction you could ever hear from God. It's as simple as this: three words, listen to him. Why is that? Why are we to listen to Jesus? He has the words of eternal life. He is the Word of God, the living Word of God. He's the one who reveals God to us and the way of salvation. So we are, and God is only allowed to say this, we are a fool if we don't listen to Jesus. We can't call each other a fool, but God has a right to do that when us humans, made in his image, choose not to listen to him. So that's the majority of the world. If you're listening to Jesus, praise his name. You're doing what the Father wants you to do. Listen to him. And I wanted to share a few words which we looked at last week. But look at these great words. In John chapter 1, verse 18, every one of them tells us why we should be listening to Jesus. John 1, 18. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. So if we're listening to Jesus, he will reveal God to us. The true God. The God that you spoke of, Steve, from Isaiah 40. The true God. John 6, and Alana, this touches on what you shared there. John 6, 68 and 69. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Who? You alone have the words of eternal life. We believe and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. That's why we should listen to Jesus. John 14, 6. Oh, you should know that one. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's full of stuff about why we should listen to Jesus. Here's another one. If we don't listen to Jesus, we will never be saved. And there's a specific verse on that. John 5, 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Hear how Jesus speaks there about hearing his word is critical to being saved. All right. So now we're going to be looking at tonight's message. I'm going to be looking at three different passages. And I just want to start off by saying, despite how awesome the experience that Peter had on the Mount of Transfiguration, despite all the incredible things he had witnessed and heard from Jesus, I want you to know, when we look through the Gospels, Peter, he wasn't there yet. And that's a good thing. He was a Christian, saved, but not a mature Christian. Isn't that encouraging? I'm encouraged. I'm so glad he wasn't perfect. And we can learn from him. So we're going to see some of his imperfections tonight. There's three big things I'm going to look at. And I want you to be reminded that you're not there yet, nor was Peter. You're in the good company of Peter. And the great thing about Jesus, he doesn't give up on us. And we're going to see that with Peter. He will never let go of you. He will never give up on you. And so that's why these passages that we're going to look at tonight are heartwarming. It's always important in all that the things that we do, the biggest thing of all when we look at God's word is to always look at the heart of God in what we're looking at. Look at him. Look at his heart. Look at the heart of Jesus, especially tonight, even though we're calling it a series on Peter. Okay, so the first passage we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 15. And I'm going to read verses 15 and 16. Matthew chapter 15, 15 and 16. Peter said to Jesus, explain the parable to us. And Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also? Oh, a bit of a reprimand. All right, now why have I picked this? Well, Jesus had been teaching the crowds through parables. In this specific case, he was teaching the people about what makes us unclean before God, what makes us defiled before God. And the religious leaders are going on about, you know, not washing your hands when you meet the Gentiles, all that kind of stuff. And Jesus says, no, that's not it. It's what comes out of your heart that makes you unclean. The thing is, Peter didn't get it. He didn't get something he should have got. So, is that a good thing? No, but it's a good thing for us. He also didn't get things. All right. And so, I hope you can relate to Peter. I want to be humble enough to say that there are things that I still don't get in the Bible. I still don't have a right understanding of things. That's so important to admit that. You're in the company of Peter. But Peter did something really good. He said, he asked a question. Peter said to Jesus, explain the parable to us. And even though he got a bit of a reprimand, are you still lacking to understand also? The reality is that Jesus heard that question, explained the parable to us, and that's a really good thing to do. It's so important to be humble and to ask the Lord for his help. Yeah. So what do you think of this? I love how we can ask the Lord and he is happy to help us understand. Are there things in the Bible you don't understand? Even right now, just think about this. Are there things that you get confused about? Do you find the Bible hard to understand, to put it together? Well, Peter was the same. Tonight we want to just touch base with this and be comforted in this. So ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to guide you in all truth. And that's what Jesus did. He then sat down and explained to Peter what he meant. So he got it. So even though Jesus isn't on this earth now, as we know, the blessing of the Spirit is to teach us. So I want to share one verse on this in John chapter 16. Verse 13, Jesus says, When he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Isn't that great? So that's a promise. The Holy Spirit, one of his great tasks, is to guide you into all the truth. So be willing to put your hand up. Lord, I don't understand. And don't try and appear to other people to know it all. Put your hand up to the Lord and ask him to help you. And he will teach you. He loves us to be humble and teachable. Always, in all your Christian life, be humble and teachable. And I have to be that too, by the way. No matter how much study I do and how much training I have, I don't know everything by a long shot. How much do you think you know? You know, 80%, 90%? 1%? I reckon I'll be down on the 1%. When you think about all of God, it's massive. But that 1% is precious. Let's make it 2%, 3%. Let's ask the Lord for his help. So you get Peter here. Peter is not, you know, really clever, doesn't have it all worked out. That's how we are. But there's hope for us all. So praise the Lord for that. Okay, another passage we're going to look at in Matthew's Gospel is Matthew chapter 18. And I'm going to read verses 21 and 22. And what we're looking at now is Peter having a wrong attitude. Do you have a wrong attitude? Bet you do. There's always something wrong. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry for this wrong attitude. Right, Peter had that wrong attitude as well. Here we go, Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? What do you reckon? Just pause there. I reckon you're going, that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty good, seven times. That's impressive. Well, he's got a wrong attitude. Because this is what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. 70 times 7, 490. What Jesus is saying is, all the time. So here's a wrong attitude. Peter thinks he's being very holy and very generous by saying seven times. But his attitude is wrong. He doesn't understand that he's meant to be forgiving all the time. And it's not like three strikes and you're out. We've got to keep on forgiving. And the reason why we're meant to be keep on forgiving is because of how much we've been forgiven. And if only Peter realised that, how many times do you think Jesus had forgiven him for, you know, foot and mouth disease and all that kind of stuff, putting his foot in it all the time? Many times, right? And so he should have picked up on that. Jesus has been constantly forgiving me, and that's how I should be towards other people. So I'm going to read to you now. In terms of this wrong attitude, especially in the area of forgiveness, that is a massive one in churches amongst people. This is what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bear with one another and forgive each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And there's no mention there, seven times, 70 times seven, when you feel like it. No, you forgive. And we forgive because we've been forgiven so much. So much we've been forgiven. So we've got to learn to have right attitudes, not wrong attitudes. What about when it comes to enemies? Surely I don't have to forgive them. Yeah, you do. All right, this is what it says about enemies. You're not meant to have an enemy. If you do have an enemy, this is how you're meant to be. Matthew chapter 5, 43 and 44. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What love Your enemies have right attitude, not wrong attitude. So as Christians, many of us grow up being pretty full on with right and wrong, and that leads to being pretty full on about justice and really going to town for someone who's messed up. And you know what Jesus is telling you? Stop it. Care for one another, get alongside, encourage them, help them turn away from sin, but love them, forgive them. That's how we're meant to be. It's important we have right attitude. So look at Peter. Here's another illustration. He hasn't arrived yet. He's not a mature believer yet. He's still getting there. And there's hope for us all. I love how God's will for every true Christian is to transform us into the image of his Son. And there's a great verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, where it says, "We all, with unveiled faces, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." So we are meant to be getting moved along from one degree of glory to another. That glory is the glory of God, and that glory is seen in Christ, and this movement towards becoming more and more like Christ. So where do you think Peter was? According to this passage, still right back here. Oh, that's how I feel. Don't give up. The Lord's at work in your life to help you grow and mature. Okay, another thing we're going to look at is in Matthew's Gospel again. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 26. Now, this is about a wrong view. And it's a wrong view of himself. Peter had a wrong view of himself. And I would say to you that many Christians have a wrong view of themselves. There are some Christians who think very badly of themselves, think very negatively of themselves. And there are other Christians who think very highly of themselves. You know, I'm pretty good, thank you very much. It's all good. Well, we're going to meet Peter, who thought very highly of himself. All right? So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 26 and read verses 31 to 35. And this is happening in a time when Jesus has just said to his disciples that he's going to die and rise again. He's just broken bread with them. Remember that, the breaking of bread? He's telling them, "This is my body given for you. I'm going to die and give myself for you." He takes the cup and talks about it being poured out. "My blood's going to be poured out for your forgiveness." This is the Lord's Supper. So right after all that, we read in Matthew chapter 26, 31 to 35. Jesus said to them, "You'll all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, I'm just going to stop there. He could say after hearing that, "Lord, I don't want to fall away. Please would you help me not fall away." That would be humble. That would indicate that he's listening. But he doesn't say that, right? What does he say? He says, where is it? Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Oh, Peter, do you see how he's got a high view of himself? Everyone else might fall away, but I'm not going to. So what do you think of that? What's our Peter's problem here? It's pride and arrogance. That's right. Okay, keep on reading. It says in verse 34, Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Okay, what's Peter's attitude? He's got a high view of himself because he says to Jesus, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing too. A high view of yourself. Not very fitting being a Christian. But look at Peter. Peter, wow, he's a disciple of Jesus and he's got it wrong. So there's hope for us. See how I keep saying that? There's hope for us. Isn't that good? I'm happy about that. If Peter was spotless and perfect, I'd be going, "Oh no." You know, or if Abraham was perfect, he messed it up many times. Oh, they all did. There you go. And that's how it is. All right, so what happens is this wrong view of ourself will always lead to problems, and it often leads to us falling. It often leads to not good things happening. And now we're going to see what happened. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 26, 69 to 75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." And I don't know, if you look into the story, you go, she's just a servant girl. Why couldn't you just have said, "Yeah, I know Jesus"? Like a maid. Well, he's denying Jesus. Verse 71. When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath. "I do not know the man." An oath meaning very strongly denying it. Verse 73. A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." This is pretty interesting to read this. Verse 74. Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." That's very strong. Like, wow, Peter is now probably using inappropriate speech here to deny himself in knowing Jesus. And then it says, immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you would deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Oh. So this is the problem when we have pride. It's an undoing. And he was rocked. And he did deny the Lord three times. The rooster crowed. And you can just imagine how gutted Peter was, thinking he was so good. "I can do this. I will never deny you, no matter what." And that very night, he's already fled the scene when Jesus is arrested, and now he denies Jesus three times. So what do you make of that, eh? You know, it's so important for all Christians, no matter whether you think you're a fantastic preacher or just whoever you think you are. There's some great verses in regards to how every Christian is to be. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think." Don't think highly of yourself. Think highly of Jesus. Get over yourself. Think about Jesus. If only Peter did that. Philippians chapter 2, what about that passage? In verses 3 and 4. "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." This is how we're meant to be. And then we have the perfect example of Jesus. In Philippians 2, 5 to 8, we read, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And in this amazing passage, Jesus is lifted up before us and we are told, look at him. He is full of humility. He is not a grasp of trying to be somebody great. He empties himself and came to serve us. And we, if we call ourselves Christians, are meant to be the same. But let's go back to Peter. Peter had a wrong view of himself. And we can have a wrong view of ourselves too. So don't be discouraged. Know that even Peter mucked it up. And the Lord's in the business of helping us get over ourselves and having, you know, right behaviour, right attitudes, right views of ourselves. You know, I want to now just touch on Jesus here. Jesus knew Peter would fall. And in Luke's Gospel, in Luke chapter 22, 31 and 32, we read these words from Jesus' lips. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, and I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." See, this is Jesus. He's not so discouraged with Peter that he's going to say to Peter, "That's it, you're out. I'm just going to throw you away." Look at this. Even before he sins, he says, "I've prayed for you, Peter. I know you're going to turn back. And when you turn back, you look after your brethren." Isn't that a beautiful Saviour? How hurtful it is. Just remember how hurtful it is for his good friend Peter to deny him three times, even with oaths and swearing. And yet Jesus would not let go of Peter. He loved Peter. We are a work in progress. We got L plates on us, you know. And the Lord knows that. Another thing too is in Luke's Gospel, in Luke chapter 22, that denying Jesus, something special happens, and it's in Luke's Gospel only. Luke chapter 22, 61 and 62. And this is incredible. It must have been an open courtyard, and Jesus is being charged with false charges, and Peter's denying Jesus in the courtyard, and there's this special time where something happens. It says, "And the Lord turned," wherever he was, "and he looked at Peter." Wow. This is just after he denied him three times. "And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." So I want you to think about that look. What would have been the look of Jesus towards Peter? And you know, we might think it's a look of disgust. It's a look of hurt. But I tell you what would be in that look, a look of love. Because Jesus still loved Peter. No matter how much we muck it up, he loves us. And Peter wept bitterly and he did repent. And I reckon that look had a lot to do with it. And he repented and he came back flying colours, ready to go. He became the great apostle Peter with the Holy Spirit inside him. I want to finish with two wonderful verses that I really appreciate. And the first one is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Do you know that one? It says, "I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Hallelujah for that verse. There are times, even in my own life, when I think, that's it, I've blown it. And God reminds me of that verse and says, "No, you haven't. I haven't finished my work in you yet. I'm going to keep on working in your life. I'm going to complete that work." But that's only true, as I mentioned this morning, for those who have jumped over the line, and we are Jesus's. We do belong to him, and we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we will never be abandoned. And the other verse that touches me a lot is found in the book of Hebrews, and it's about the ministry of our Lord Jesus. He's still ministering. He's not just in heaven and just, you know, resting. He's doing something in heaven. Do you know what it is? Every day, every moment of the day. Let me read it out to you. Hebrews 7:25. "He," Jesus, "is able to save forever those who draw near to him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them." Intercession means praying. That means before the Father, Jesus is praying for, I'm going to talk personally, praying for me before the Father. And we don't know the conversation, but I imagine it goes something like this. "Father, Ian's just messed up, but I died for his sins. He's forgiven. Please keep on having patience with him. Let's keep on working in his life. Let's keep on nurturing him and fertilizing him that he might become that child of God I want him to be." That's intercession. That's what Jesus is doing. So how exciting this is, isn't it? How beautiful. We have a wonderful Saviour. How good it is that we have a real Bible with real people in it, and Peter blew it heaps of times. And we go, that's good. Because there's hope for us all. But the hope is because Jesus will never give up on us. And I love that. I love how Jesus just kept on helping Peter through it all. And one day he would die. He would never deny Jesus again. He would die as a martyr, crucified upside down. He couldn't be crucified the way Jesus was crucified. He chose to be crucified upside down. It's not in the Bible. It's in our early church fathers' books. And he died, a martyr for the faith. He never turned back. All right, I'm going to pray and we can have some discussion if you like. Our Father, thank you for how we have been looking at Peter's life. And even though some amazing things happened, we can still see Peter faltering. And we know it's not good for us to falter, but we are encouraged when we realise that Peter, like us, is so imperfect. And we thank you that you have such a heart for us and still love us and want to grow us and mature us. And I ask for all of us, if we have come to know you, that we would know this growing, growing in your grace, growing in becoming more like Jesus. Help us never to think that we've gone too far and that you're going to abandon us. But Lord, help us to truly be, make sure that we are saved, that we are in the camp, that we belong to Jesus, because it's only those that he will never let go of. Thank you for tonight. I pray you'd minister to us, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.